Hi, everyone. I'm Sydney Long, guard at Gibson Southern High School. I was introduced to Lead 'Em Up last year, and it helped my team and I so much, especially this past season. Our team worked extremely well together. We all played for each other instead of for ourselves. Doing Lead 'Em Up almost every week was able to help us work on communication and many other things. For me, Lead 'Em Up taught me everything I needed to become a great leader and teammate. It helped me make sure I walked into practice and games with energy and ready to go, which helped everyone on the team do the same.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A. So today I'm joined by our Northeast Regional Coach, Coach Rastogi, as we talk about this topic of optional versus mandatory. You know, we are in the summer workout season, and there's been a little trend on social media of coaches, and there's a handful of tweets that you and I have been engaging in conversation about where coaches will say something along the lines of this, and I'll read a few tweets right here in front of me. This coach says, yes, summer workouts are quote unquote optional, but so is your spot on the depth chart. Here's another coach that says something very similar, says, yes, summer workouts are quote unquote optional, but so is my ability to play you on Friday night. And you and I, independent from each other, both got kind of worked up over this and somehow re-engaged each other on this conversation, because the reality, at least from my perspective, if you're going to go the route of optional workout, then make it optional. And when I say make it optional, that is free from consequence for not attending. But when you go and you parade with these comments that these workouts are optional, and then you go and threaten that if they don't make it, there's a punishment, then why are you parading around the fact that it's a optional workout? Let's just go to the point that it is either mandatory. I believe, Coach, that, listen, if there are things that you need to be mandatory, then make them mandatory. But if it's not mandatory, then let it be optional. And the problem with these blanket statements that are made, and there's a lot of them that, because, you know, I've even went and looked at the comments. People are, oh, yeah, you're right, coach. Yep. I mean, this is a big school of thought amongst coaches. The reality is there is usually more to the story than just simply I can make it or I can't. Right? Like, there's more to the story. You know, what happens, coach, if this athlete can't make your workouts because they're a multi-sport athlete and they're playing in different tournaments of different sports, right? What happens if there's a family conflict that makes it tough? What happens if they're working out with another trainer and just not your workout program, you know, and they're in this other, there's more to it than just simply making it or not. And to make a statement like that with a threat behind it, I don't like it. It rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah. I would absolutely agree with you. And I think that was sort of the impetus for me making a 2.5 minute video about it.
Which got got a lot of traction, coach.
It did. Yeah. I think we're over like almost 3,000 views now. It's like 40K impressions or something on it. But like the idea that we as coaches are in charge of the most important thing in a kid's life, and if they're not dedicating all their time to it and showing up on our schedule, to our environment, this adult-centered idea. And then those same people turn around and say that they want what's best for kids and they're doing what's best for kids. And I have to, you know, I sacrifice so much for kids. Like, to me, those are incongruent statements. And, you know, we're going to dive deeper into it. But yeah, I find that it is wholly disrespectful of the entire person that child is. And I say child because, again, like even if you're 14 to 18 years old, you're still a kid. And kids need to be able to do kid things and also be able to vet choices, which is our job as coaches, is to help them make the next best decision. And if the next best decision is not to go to a place where maybe they're not going to feel supported, maybe they have to, you know, choose in terms of opportunity cost, helping their family put food on the table or playing this sport, that they're playing, that is, again, something they sign up for. It's optional. They're not on the team until they're on the team. There's so many other dynamics that we can talk about. You know, for us as adults, as coaches, to say, like, you know, it's optional to come to this, but it's also optional for you to play. Like, that is the ultimate in terms of using what is known as social capital for kids as a threat or something to hold over them. And it just doesn't sit well with me.
So I understand the angst that coaches experience about wanting kids in attendance. I totally get it. You're trying to build something really special. You're trying to build this camaraderie. You're trying to build this momentum during the off season. And it absolutely will be more helpful and dynamic and powerful with everybody in attendance. I get that. I fully do. And I want that also. But the reality is it may not always be that way. And I've got to come to terms with that and begin to understand that I'm going to have to kind of build my team in a slightly different manner, right? I'm going to have to build that momentum in a slightly different manner because of that. But you know where it goes to for me, Coach? It goes to, you know, PGC basketball always says it's the fault of the better player. Okay. Like when there's something not performing well, you know, there's a mishap in communication, there's a lack of commitment, like it's the fault of the better player. And essentially it just means always look inside first and then look out. When I see kids not attending, my first thought is internal. What have I done wrong that these kids don't want to attend this? Right. Like, because I really believe in it. It goes to a concept we've talked many times about, this concept of chasing versus attracting. If I have built an experience, if I have built a family environment, if I have a culture that is healthy and strong, the reality is the kids are probably going to want to be there. And in fact, when they're not, they will feel like they are missing out on not just the opportunity to grow, not just the opportunity to maybe increase your playing time, blah, 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 those things. But it's actually, they're missing out on the place where they want to be more than anything. And I know teams, and I have been around teams where the kids live and, I mean, they just live and breathe the team. They live and breathe their teammates. There's no place they'd rather be than with their peers in that team environment, because it is their happy place. It is their safe place. It is their most enjoyable place. Guess what? When you create that type of environment, kids aren't skipping workouts. Mm-hmm. Kids aren't missing out, because that's where they want to be. So when I see coaches talking like that, it makes me think, like, man, what is it about your team? What is it about your program that kids are willingly skipping on this stuff? You got to look internal. Yeah. But when you see those tweets like that, and when you get that type of mindset, you are then defaulting to the laziest form of leadership, which is punishment-driven leadership, mm-hmm. where you simply just use your authority and say, you either come or you're out or you're screwed, right? Because you can't figure out on your own how to create an environment that actually attracts it.
Yeah, no doubt. And so, you know, this is where I actually mentioned this in the video, but it's I'm glad you brought it up. This idea of the environment and creating that environment, and coaches talk about this a lot, and it's starting to become a little bit of a platitude. And I don't like dealing in platitudes. I think coach speak is probably one of the worst things we do to our kids, because they start repeating the stuff that really doesn't matter. But when we're talking about creating that climate, when we're talking about creating that environment, I go back to my experience as a head coach for a number of years in Virginia. And I was coaching at a school, it was a really high academic school, and we had four springs, summers, and falls coaching basketball, which is obviously a winter sport. So we were lifting, running, doing the whole thing for about 10 months a year outside of the season. And, you know, when I think about that experience, I remember only having three kids in the gym at one of our first workouts, three total. Right, we had a senior, we had an eighth grader, and we had a ninth grader. And then at the time that I left that school, we had 30, 35 kids in the gym, in the weight room, flipping tires, doing all of the things that we were asking them to do. And not once did I ever walk up to a kid and say, hey, if you don't come to our workouts, you're not going to play in the winter. Right? Because we operated by a number of different caveats or a number of different constructs or rules, if you will. And I think, you know, when we talk about the idea of it being optional, right, much of that is driven by a higher power. So county rules, state rules, federation rules, whatever. you may not be able to make it mandatory. That is a rule that is set in place for the protection of young people, right? If we were to be able to, as adults, make everything mandatory, we would have kids quitting sport at an even higher rate, right? Because we make it incredibly adult-centered. We make it something that they don't want to do because they feel like they have to do it. So when you make it fun, when you make it engaging, when you make it somewhere that kids want to be, not because they want to come and please you, but because they want to be around their teammates and they want to better themselves around their peers that they also enjoy being around, then you don't have to threaten and coerce, right? Every kid makes the team every year. That was one of the things we said to all of our players in our fall workouts, in our spring family meetings. Every kid makes the team every year, just like my coaching contract gets renewed every year. So all of the things we're doing right now are optional for me too. I'm not getting paid as a coach to work you out over the summer. I'm doing it to provide an equitable opportunity for those that want to come and get better. So if you're going to be here, you're going to get the best of me and the best of the environment, right? If we're not saying those things to our kids, to our parents, and they show up and it's the same thing over and over, and they're not feeling the love, they're not feeling that environment, they're not feeling like they're a part of something, then of course it makes it easy for them to not want to do it, right? And then if we add on top, hey, this is optional, but so is your playing time, all of a sudden their engagement goes way down. That doesn't motivate anybody to want to show up and say, yeah, if I show up over the summer, I'm definitely going to play on Friday night. We know who's going to play on Friday night, right? The best players are going to play on Friday night, regardless of whether they showed up to these workouts or not.
And that's what's so funny, right? Because at the end of the day, all the players are going to have an opportunity to demonstrate if they're the best or if they're not. And the reality is, whether you attended the optional workouts or you didn't attend the optional workouts, when we get on the field or go on the court and we begin competing within the season, we are going to pick the players that are in best position. It is not an automatic guarantee that your workout will produce the best position for that kid. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because there's a good chance that if that kid's playing multiple sports and they're engaging maybe with a personal trainer and they're doing some other stuff outside of your scope of your particular workout, there's still a good chance that that player comes in on that particular sport, right? Fall season kicks off and is the best positioned, right? The most talented, best player, and they're going to play, right? And I think one thing that you brought up about this objective nature of tryouts, of competing for your position, when you begin to say and make this connection, like attending workouts increases your chances of playing, and you just now all of a sudden you're almost saying that when it comes time to compete or try out, that I'm going to use some other factors beyond just what I see in front of me, the best player, the strong, you know, like the strongest player, that type of thing. Now all of a sudden, now I feel like there's games being played.
Absolutely. It's a complete game that I think most coaches aren't really aware of. And this is something that I had to learn the hard way. But creating a truly objective tryout and creating a tryout that actually measures the things that you deem to be important, right? We can look at our team over the summer and everybody loves their team in June, right? Sherry Cole talks about this. Everybody looks at their team with stars in their eyes in June with so much potential and this, that, and the other. And you get to February and you hate your team, right? Because they're not doing all the things that you're asking them to do. There's drama, whatever, whatever. So I think, you know, when we think about the importance of working on your game, getting stronger, all of those things, yes, it's absolutely important. How you pitch that to a kid is even more important. Right, you have the benefit as the coach of knowing that these things are going to help you. But if we can't recruit our team every day to that highest ideal and not do it through coercion, then yeah, when it comes to tryouts time, I might not have put forth the effort over the summer. And that's going to show if the tryout is an equitable, objective, fair tryout. Now, if the tryout is skewed and I already know that because I didn't go to these workouts, I probably shouldn't even show up. Now I'm missing out on the opportunity to play maybe because of something that was outside of my control. And it's not, to me, it's not equitable anymore. It's not fair for those kids who may have other things going on. Again, they are kids. They might be 13 to 18 years old, and they have all kinds of other things going on. So the relationship with you as the coach is also important. Do you know what's going on in their life?
Is there dialogue? Is there communication? Yeah.
Or is it an assumption like, oh, this kid's not committed to me and to this sport that is going to be fleeting in their life? Right. And at the end of the day, again, like creating an engaging place for them to be, right? The two factors that are most closely tied to performance are engagement and motivation. If we're not engaging them, if they're not engaged with their teammates, and they're trying to be motivated through fear, threats, or coercion, now you've got a recipe for a mental health disaster. Mm-hmm. And you've also got a recipe for kids understanding you really don't have their best interests at heart.
Yeah, yeah. I love how Coach Locke on Twitter, at Coach L-O-K, in response to this conversation that we engaged in, said, on my calendar of workouts, practice, games, et cetera, I would always title them at the top opportunities. And then I didn't stress if they showed up or didn't. It's amazing how easy it is to skip a workout, but how players and parents truly give thought and consideration when they have to think about missing an opportunity. So from there, okay, you can maybe just say it's a matter of semantics, but he's framing it in a way that like just kind of hits a little different in the players and parents' mind. Like, we've got this incredible growth opportunity. You don't want to miss that. The one thing I think it's so important to remember, this phrase of FOMO, right? FOMO.
Yeah.
You all know what it is, fear of missing out. Here's the deal. Young people have high levels of FOMO. They really do. They have incredible levels of FOMO. And the sad reality is, if your players don't have FOMO, fear of missing out on your workouts, that is more of an indictment on you and the program than them as the player. I mean, let's just be real.
Like, without a doubt,
if the player is sitting home and isn't given to whatever about missing your workout, it doesn't affect them. It's not emotionally hitting them. They don't feel like they're missing out on anything. Then we need to put your program under the microscope, because something is wrong. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm seeing it in multiple different avenues. You know, one benefit that I have is, I'm not exclusive to one program, only seeing results out of one program's lens, where a lot of coaches are, right? And it's a detriment to them. They only know what they know. They can only see what they can see. The one thing, when you work with 6 to 8 teams every season, I get to see the good, the bad, and the ugly. I get to see the attractive, and I get to see the programs that are chasing. I get to see the ones with 100% attendance, and I get to see the ones where they're begging the players to show. I tell you, when you have created a great environment, your attendance naturally will rise. And that it sounds so common sense, but we need to be reminded of that. And I'll speak to two programs right now. I won't speak on share their names, but they're in two different levels. Okay. There's one program I'm engaged with that gets almost 100% attendance. And the reality is, they've got high standards. These are optional workouts, but it doesn't seem optional to those kids, right? They all show up. You almost would think on the surface that it's mandatory, because they're all there. And you begin to peel back the layers and you begin to wonder why. It's because these kids love being there. They love being part of it. The program has done such a great job casting the vision of where we're trying to go and what we're trying to build. There's community engagement, so they feel honored and privileged to be part of this program, right? They are proud of it. They go around and tell others. They wear the gear all over the place because they are proud of being part of this program. Mm-hmm. The last thing they'd want to do is miss a workout, because then they feel like they're missing out on all this goodness in their life that they can't afford to miss out on. So they show up each and every day. Now, there's another program that I'm engaged in, and it's a new relationship. And, you know, frankly, it's a new coach. Their program hasn't been that healthy. They don't have great attendance. The coach has admitted it is a challenge. It is a struggle. The parents aren't all in, right? The community is not all in. The kids have been able to kind of get by with attending sometimes and not attending other times, and not so much more so because they're busy with other obligations. Those are more the intentional, no, I just don't feel like going, right? Like, mm-hmm. which is a different, once again, a different conversation. Why, to your point, it's so important to be in communication and have the relationship with the players. But nonetheless, this is a program that would be more prompted to have a coach tweet what we've seen on Twitter to try to get these players there because they're not showing up. It's really interesting. We've started the Lead 'Em Up process with this program, and we have begun seeing increased attendance as we've started this summer season. And what's been interesting to see is that as we started building the momentum within Lead 'Em Up, right? And one thing Lead 'Em Up does a great job on, we start building some themes and some momentums. All of a sudden there's some language that starts getting brought up, and kids start feeling, I mean, one of our foundational exercises is the green team, about building something special. I mean, it's what we do, what we talk about. All of a sudden, there's this momentum around building something special, and it begins to feel different. And all of a sudden, the kids start talking, and this momentum begins to permeate through the kids, even not in attendance at first. And I just got a text the other day from the coach saying, hey, you know, is there any chance you could come in early for our next Lead 'Em Up session? Because some of the kids who have missed the last week or so, they want to catch up. They want to get brought up to speed. This is literally the kids saying it. They've missed it initially. They're starting to notice the kids are, and teammates are talking. Then they're like, holy smokes, I'm missing out on something. Kids don't want to be left behind. Mm-hmm. They especially don't want to be left behind on trains of goodness. If you've got a train moving in the right direction and it is good and it is special, kids don't want to miss that. All of a sudden, we now have a session next week that I'm going in an hour early, coach, to work with kids that didn't show up the last 2 weeks, that feel like have been hearing they're missing something. They don't want to miss it. They're now going to come to an extra hour of workouts on their own accord. Mm-hmm. That's what you call attracting. Yep. Coaches that threaten are chasing. And if you are threatening, you are chasing, and you are resulting and defaulting to the most lazy form of leadership, punishment, threatening-based leadership, where you say, well, I can't figure out how to get them here, so I guess the only option now is I just threaten them. Mm-hmm. That's a sad and unfortunate place to be in. And from a productivity winning standpoint, you're not going to reach your full potential if that's where you're environment currently is within your program.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And as you were talking, I was thinking about the programs that I've worked with through Lead 'Em Up, through Essential Coaching, even my own programs. And the ones where you see that permeation of good vibes, right? That idea that, you know what? I'm not here because my coach wants me to be here. I'm here because I love my team. I'm here because I feel like I'm part of a community, which is one of my biggest core values, is community. That's what I seek and what I try to build in everything that I do. And so when I think about that community, how you get there is through recruiting. And so coaches will say, well, I can't recruit. Yes, you can. We are constantly recruiting to our highest ideals, right? Being authentic, creating that environment, communicating the vision, like you said, like casting that vision very strongly, and then recruiting people to that. And when people feel like they have a vested ownership in that highest ideal, they're going to show up. And you may not get everybody, right? You may not get every single person that you think is going to come to tryouts or that you think should be part of the program. But what you're doing is you're opening the door for those kids that want to be there to bring other kids who don't know yet that they want to be there. And that's the most important part, because your most committed kids are your best recruiters. They're going to go out and find that kid that like doesn't come to workouts just yet. And they're going to grab him by the shirt collar and say, hey, come on. Like, we need you in the weight room with us today. We're flipping tires. It's Friday. Let's go. Let's go get a little muddy. It's going to be fun. I mean, you think about that, right? You've got athletes who have never really been given a chance, or maybe have been given a chance, but it's the same rote thing over and over and over again. And all of a sudden, now we're doing something that's different. It's beneficial, but the novelty never wears off. Can coaches say that about their workouts? That in the heat of July, you got an open gym and kids are showing up 20 minutes early so they can be part of the first five to get on the court? Right? Can you say that they're going to show up at six in the morning when they would rather be sleeping, but they know that when they wake up at 6 a.m. that they're there, XYZ person's going to be there with them, right? I'm going to pick up this freshman because they can't drive, right? That's what we're trying to create. And you don't create that through coercion. You don't create that through threatening kids for their playing time, mm-hmm. right? You create that by recruiting them to want to be a part of something.
Hey, this is Ashley from Chick-fil-A, and this is today's leadership nugget. Looking to grow and develop in your own leadership abilities? I think emotional intelligence is the number one characteristic a 21st century leader must embody. Two key traits of emotional intelligence are self-awareness and empathy. For us to have a positive impact and inspire motivation in our team members, this requires that we are able to discern what's happening internally with ourselves, along with the people around us. To lead a team to a more effective workplace, we must know each other's styles and preferences to work as a team to find common ground in all we do. Leaders who embody high emotional intelligence can 1. Communicate their vision more effectively. 2. Improve their persuasion and inspirational speaking abilities. And 3. Ensure appropriate responses to stressful and sometimes confusing situations at work. Regardless of the many theories out there about what makes a good leader, it doesn't happen overnight. Remember, leadership is a journey. If you're looking to be a better, more effective leader, or if you're working on personal growth, discerning your emotional intelligence is a great place to start. Now, let's jump back into the episode.
I've got this book right here. It's right next to my desk called Tribes. People are community-based individuals. We want relationship. We want to feel part of community. We want to be part of a tribe that's committed to one another, that has each other's back, that's working towards things. So when people opt out of the tribe, you've got to really ask the question, like, what did I do wrong? Or what am I doing wrong? And you know, one thing that's really interesting, I think coaches do themselves a disservice where they believe they have different kids. Mm-hmm. When their kids don't perform at a high level or engage in a high level, or they're not committed and all in, and you know, they liken it to the other school down the street in the other part of town that does have 100%, and they almost chalk it up to like them having different kids. They're like, oh, our kids, they're just different over here. No. Like, mm-hmm. yes, maybe slightly. Yes, there may be some personality variances. Yes, of course, they're slightly different. But all in all, the deep kind of core issues in all humans are relatively the same.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Like the reality is, no, the kids down on that part of the town, they're not that different. Like maybe on the surface, maybe some personalities, but no, they want to be part of something bigger. They want to be part of a great family environment. They want community, right? They want to love their teammates. They want to be growing and getting better, and they want to be connected, all those things. No, your kids just aren't different. Guess what? Their program is different.
Mm-hmm.
Their program.
What I would also say to that, like having been in that exact situation that you're talking about, I was told when I took over a job, oh, you'll never get kids to come to workouts here. Oh. They have too many things going on. Oh, you guys will never win a conference game. Oh, y'all are the doormat. We don't have basketball players here. What are you talking about? We have basketball players where there's kids that play basketball. They might not be as talented, right? But as a coach, it's my job to create an environment where they can come and get better and somewhere they feel like they belong. We didn't have, I mean, we had some really, really good players, and we had some kids that developed into good players by coming to everything that we offered and going to PGC and going to different things and working on their game on their own and playing AAU for the first time, right? So some kids have to try a little harder because they don't have the natural quote unquote gifts or the talent or whatever. Some kids start later in life. Some kids don't. Some kids start from the time that they're 5 years old and they play and they're really, really good and all of these things. But like, as you said, at the core level, every kid is looking for a place to belong. Every human being is looking for a place to belong, right? You talk about reading and books and stuff like that. If you read any of the data that's actually out there about why people stay at their job or why people leave, what the most important things are about staying at a job, the majority of the studies will tell you money doesn't make the top five. So when we're talking about money and social capital, right, for a kid or for an athlete, especially a high school age athlete, social capital is playing time. Doesn't make the top five, right? We even put out a poll on, we put out a survey through Essential Coaching, and 78% of the respondents said the one thing that they look for, what makes a really good coach to them, what do they need from their coach, is relationships and trust. Nowhere on that did it say X's and O's. No, like it didn't even get a vote. Like there was on the pie chart, the little sliver that should be there for X's and O's did not get a vote. So what we're really creating here is a false understanding of what it means to motivate and what it means to coach. And I would challenge coaches that are listening to this right now, and I laid out the same challenge in my video. What are you doing right now to improve your ability to connect, to improve your ability to create that environment, to ascertain?
I'm tweeting threats, coach. Right. That's what I'm doing.
Right. Most coaching professional development is strictly X's and O's based. Right here, come get this playbook. Come get this clinic video. Come, you know, do this thing that's going to help you run your wing T offense better or your spread offense better. That to me is complete crap. Everybody runs good stuff. It's not about what you can diagram. It's what about you? It's what you can get your kids to do. And so, if on that survey we know that 78% of the respondents chose relationships and trust as the number one thing, how are you as a coach stepping outside your development comfort zone, like you're asking kids to do, by showing up to your adult-centered workouts and getting better at creating relationships, creating trust, creating an environment, creating engagement and motivation to get kids to want to show up, to where then you don't even have to advertise it anymore. The kids are asking you when the next time is we're working out.
Man, I love your inputs on this, coach. And, you know, coach, listen, if you're not getting great attendance in these off-season workouts, can I give a little suggested word switch or mental shift? Let's move from a place of feeling discouraged about it, mm-hmm. and let's go to a place of feeling challenged over it. You know, like, and at least this is how I've approached it, right? I already told you there's a team that I've worked with now for a couple of weeks, not great attendance. Well, decent attendance, right? But on the first couple lead 'em up sessions, as we're trying to establish this foundation, didn't have 100% attendance. I absolutely could be discouraged about that. It is important that we have attendance. We're trying to establish a foundation, right? We're trying to get us all on the same page. We're trying to build momentum. Rather than getting discouraged, I've walked away from those sessions challenged, and not in a negative way. Man, I am fired up. I'm fired up for this particular program to do what I do, coach, to do what I do, right? And I want to, coach listening to this, I want you to be fired up right now too. I am fired up to do what I do, to create this special environment, to kind of get the doubters in, right? Mm-hmm. To get those on the fence to be all in. And man, when I see each one turn in the corner, I'm going to celebrate. Got them, mm-hmm. right? Not in a vindictive like way, but no, got them. They're in. Poof, I won that one. Poof, I'm building. Poof, I'm building. And I'm going to use all of that to my advantage as we go through the summer, building the foundation. We're going to talk about how in the beginning of summer, we had moderate attendance, right? But we're going to talk about how towards the end of the summer, look how everybody, look at the change. Look at the difference. Look at the growth. I'm going to let them start feeling that difference. Doesn't this feel better? Guys, we are building something special. Who wouldn't want to be a part of this? Man, you missed this? Man, you're missing out on so much goodness. We are building something so special, right? All of a sudden, I'm now going to look at something that would discourage some coaches and be like, oh man, my program, these kids are just different. You know, it's so tough. It's so challenging. No, view it as a game, a competition. We need to win. Right now, we're not winning. We've got to work harder. We got to love greater. We got to serve more. We've got to enhance better. Like, we've got to do all this stuff. And man, when we start winning, right? When the wins start coming in, let's start celebrating. That's where I'm at, coach. I'm not threatening anybody. I'm saying we're gonna build something special. And my biggest concern, I feel bad that you're going to miss it.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, you coach who's in front of you, right? So if it's three kids, like I had at one of the first workouts that I ran at my old head coaching position, fine. Those three kids are going to get the best of me. And they're going to go home feeling like, man, my coach loves me. My coach loves me. I love these two girls that were here. It was fun to work out with them. And you know what? I'm going to talk about it. And I'm going to start selling this to some other people. I'm going to tell my parents about it. And my parents are going to know that I'm well taken care of. And then all of a sudden you get five at the next one. And you're like, dang, cool. We grew. And we get 10. And all of a sudden you're at 35, 40, right? Whatever it is, depending on your sport program, however many kids you have. You want to get to a place where you got kids beating down your door to come work out. Coach, when are we getting in the weight room? When are we starting?
And that is realistic.
We gotta wait until May. Right? And that's very realistic. I've done it. And I've been in places where that was not a part of the culture before. Right? It was not. It was something that was actually frowned upon because the previous coach that I took over for had told kids, hey, I don't believe in summer workouts and stuff. You are who you are when you get here. What? So you have a very fixed mindset about who they are. Like, I'm not going to waste my time with summer workouts and stuff because it's just not something we do. Okay, well, we're going to change that, but we're also going to make it something that kids want to come to. Have you asked, and this is that game that you're talking about, right? Have you asked the question, hey, what do you guys want out of workouts? Hey, what do you feel like we need to do? What would be fun for you? Have we looked outside the box? So here's an example. Instead of just running laps around the track or running sprints or whatever, we set up a game day where we literally play different games like Hungry Hungry Hippos, right? But not on a board game. We played it on a tennis court. So we had a bucket of balls in the middle of the court. The kids started in a corner. They had to go and grab a ball and bring it back to their bucket. So in my mind, yeah, okay, we're getting running. We're getting change of direction. We're getting sprinting. We're getting, you know, ball handling, whatever. We're not allowed to use a basketball to do this. This takes 5 minutes. And it was the most fun they'd had all summer, right? Again, make it fun. Make it something kids want to show up to. Because here's the other thing. After a pandemic, after kids being in remote school for the better part of 2 years, the last thing they want to do is sit there in a room, a weight room, be on a field and getting yelled at and being threatened and coerced. This is the first summer where most of our kids are able to actually go out and do something in 2 years. Make what you're doing the thing they want to show up to the most instead of sitting on the couch and playing 2K, which is not a bad thing, instead of, you know, things that they could choose to do otherwise. Now, if they have a job, if they have family stuff, then you got to know that and you got to figure it out. And that's the recruiting part of building that relationship with them to understand what's going on in their world and how you can provide, again, an equitable opportunity for that kid to access the resource that you're hosting.
So I had a conversation with Dr. Josh Funk. We've had him on the show before. Actually, not on the Lead 'Em Up pod. I had him a bunch of times on the Hardwood Hustle prior to the launch of the Lead 'Em Up pod. But he owns Rehab to Perform, and he and I were having this conversation about this. And he also talked about just the physical need for rest at times as well. And as coaches, when we go and we make these threats and these claims, and we claim it's for the better of the athlete, that may not always be the case. If there's an athlete that's come off playing three sports, you know, physically, so, you know, Josh can speak much more about this, but he just kind of, yes, there is built-in rest requirements that are going to be essential for the growth and the success of that player moving forward. So, but yet we're still many times square peg, round hole. No, come to our workout, regardless of your other circumstances, just come. You know, we're just trying to force it. Have this conversation, create the plan in place, right? Mm-hmm. Think about how mature, yet this sounds so foreign because it doesn't happen much, okay? But think about how mature this would sound. What if you're a head coach and you sat with that player and they just came off three straight seasons, okay? That type of thing. Mm-hmm. And you actually sat with that player and you kind of talked to her, okay, hey, workouts start on this day, June 20th. You know, we're going to be going 4 days a week. You know, what's your year looking like? And you actually told that player, hey, I actually don't want you to come the first 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to come the first 2 weeks. I really want you to rest. I want you to take a break. I just want you to chill. I just want you to kind of rejuvenate yourself, relax, do all that. I don't want to see you. I'm not even going to be looking for you to come these first couple of weeks until July 10th. That right there is such a high level conversation that I'm going to tell you right now, probably never happens. But if you are truly in it for the player, for the best of the player, that's a type of healthy conversation that should actually be having. But that seems so out of the realm of our thinking because we need them with us and we are insecure. I think some of this is insecurities, coach, coming to the surface here. I need them with me. I need them under my control. I need them under my watch. I need them in my kind of viewpoint and in my program. They need to be here. Oh my gosh. You know, to sit there and tell a player, you know, don't worry about coming for the next 2 weeks. Because, you know, I want you to rest for me. And I actually think that'll be better for you, better for us. You'll come back in with just fresher legs, just mm-hmm. greater energy, spirit. Coaches listening, would you ever do that? Would you ever actually tell your player, hey, you know, don't come for the next couple weeks? Because you really view the bigger picture. You mm-hmm. see the full scope.
It's interesting you say that because I think, you know, the three sport athlete is sort of going out of style too, right? Because of that very notion of I got to specialize so early and coaches are putting pressure, scholarships, parents, whatever. And I think, you know, even for our kids, like I know that there's some programs that we work with in essential coaching that like they go straight from their season that ends in like March and then they're playing spring league like May 1st, right? Or they're playing games again in April. And it's like, what are you doing? Right. And Kyle, our Southeast, I guess, in Louisiana, Mississippi, Texas, Arkansas regional leadership coach, Kyle Cavanaugh, wrote a great blog about this. And the title is "The Rest is Music Too." Right. And so the rest in the song is music as well, even though nobody's playing in that rest period of the song. Right, there's a little break in the song and it's the rest on the sheet music. That's still part of the music. Mm. And, you know, to explore that concept of rest and recovery, I'm sure, you know, Dr. Funk would agree with that. Like rest and recovery are vital parts of the athletic experience. And nobody's saying like you can't go and do your workouts and do all of that stuff. Nobody is saying don't host these workouts. It's make it so that there's a holistic view of the athlete's development, right? From a 30,000 foot view, what's going to be the best thing for each individual athlete on our team? If we do have that three sport athlete that has just burnt themselves out the whole year playing for the school, I have told players before that I've had, I don't want to see you until next school year. And they're like, coach, what are you talking about? I'm coming. I'm like, you know, whoever, whatever their name is, I swear to God, if you show up, I will drive you home. Don't come because you're exhausted. You need time to just go be a kid. And the number of parents that have reached out after that conversation to say, thank you for talking some sense into them because they won't listen to me. That's what we're looking for, because that creates the relationship that then when you go and ask that player for something like, hey, can you show up and play in this league or whatever? They're more apt to probably do it, but you don't do it for them to do that later. You do it because it's the best thing for that athlete, right? But we as coaches have to be able to sort of reconsider what we're looking at as development, because all of that effort that you spend in your improvement season and you still don't get the results you're looking for and you still have all the issues that you have during the season, well, that means you kind of wasted all of that time not developing in the right things at the right time.
Yeah, well said.
Maybe that's a topic maybe for a part two of this, but that to me is where we need to really, really reconsider coaching development as a whole, as to really diving into doing the right things that will actually translate beyond the physical piece of these workouts.
Yeah. I think there are moments where mandatory is required, and that needs to be mandatory, and you need to be there. Mm-hmm. You want to be part of this, you need to be here. In this moment, I'm going to test your commitment to this. You need to be here. It's mandatory. But if it is optional, we should not put mandatory threats over their head. And if we are having to do that to get them here, we need to look internally, because it's usually more of a glimpse into our performance than their performance. And this whole concept has definitely got us going. And I'm pretty certain you could feel that in our voices as we kind of spoke today, that we really believe it. And I just think that the best place you can be at is have a program in a position that attracts. And threatening on that is the ultimate sign of chasing. It's the ultimate sign of chasing. And if you have to go there, then you just don't have your priorities right and the focus isn't right. So listen, Coach, appreciate you like always offering great input, great wisdom, great insight. So for both of us, we are Lead 'Em Up. Till next time, have fun. We'll see you then.
Hey, before you go, we want to take a minute and thank our friends over at Chick-fil-A for sponsoring our podcast. Chick-fil-A is not only a place where you can go get a warm meal served with superb hospitality, but it's a place committed to caring for its communities and developing young people. That is part of the reason why we're so excited to have Chick-fil-A on board with us. It's because we share that vision of developing young people and developing people in general into the leaders they can become. So I want to encourage you to go support your local Chick-fil-A. And remember, it is more than just a chicken sandwich. Hey, we appreciate you listening. Until next time, have fun and lead them up.